On RN, this is The Body Sphere with Amanda Smith. As art reflects life, all of life, so actors have to learn to fight.
The forehand cut, and then the slice, and then the thrust, and then the slash, and boom. That's me not wanting to fight her.
I'm on the defensive the whole time.
Have we strangled each other yet? Okay. Did we do hair pulls?
No.
Oh my god. All right. Let's strangle each other and pull out each other's hair.
And again.
Stop. Will you stop? Knock it off. Get out of it.
Or if I'm trying to kill her at that point, I kill her.
1, 2, 3, 4. Chop. Stab.
Now she can gradually take herself down to the floor. She needs to put her foot underneath her so that she's on balance. That's it. She takes herself down. I don't let her thump her head on the floor, and she does kicky, strangle, strangle, dying acting. Amazing.
Welcome to the world of stage fighting, where you'll learn some of the secrets, the skills, and the thrills of pretend violence.
Straight back in, Ada. Yeah, boom.
My name's Kyle Rowling, and I'm the director of the Sydney Stage Combat School.
Parry with that one, boom. Bang. Boom.
The primary purpose is to make the violence look real and nasty, but keep the actors safe. Actors need to do this time and time again, whether it's a theatre production that has 8 shows a week, or a film or television where you have to do 18 takes of the one thing. It's important that nobody gets hurt, and they can repeat that time after time after time. So we'll just start with a simple little drill. It'll be a forehand cut, followed by a backhand slice, thrust to the same shoulder, and then a forehand slash to get him out of the way. Cut, slice, thrust, slash. Cool? All right, partner up. We deal with everything from unarmed violence, hand-to-hand combat, domestic violence, and whether it's highly stylized or scrappy, ugly fighting, and then every weapon that you can conceive. So we do spears, chains, sticks, shields, knives. We do a lot of sword work.
For your Shakespeare's, I imagine.
A lot of sword work for Shakespeare's.
Boom, cut to the off shoulder here, slice to the leg, and then roll it into his slash, which is going to be 45.
What we do, we deal with a lot of nasty things in theatre, film and television. We deal with the horrible parts of the play.
Yes, you're doing all the ugly stuff, really, aren't you? The aggro stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, whenever actors get physical with each other, there's a reason or a purpose behind it as far as the script and the characters are concerned. The reason the training's so important is because as humans, our emotions trigger our physicality. And when you're asking actors to work at a heightened emotional state, it makes them want to go faster and harder. And it's really important that they learn to split the differences and be able to still convey all that emotion, have the tears running down their faces, yelling and screaming at each other, but have that control of what they're actually doing physically. So understanding that the body is just another way to tell the story.
So how did a nice guy like you get into all this stage violence?
I've been an actor and a martial artist since I was 8 years old.
So both?
Yeah, a good stage combatant is both. It's really an acting form. It's when the script runs out, and in Shakespeare a lot of times all it gives you is brackets, they fight. So it's an art form for actors primarily, to be able to express themselves physically once emotions have reached a certain point where words are no good to them anymore.
So nice and slow slice. Thrust. I'll go back to here. You can thrust over the top of my blade to that backside, and I'll take this one and come in with the diagonal slash. And Adam, you what? Play it out, yeah.
So this is an evening class at the Sydney Stage Combat School. Let's head now, though, to a different lesson in theatrical violence with acting students at the Victorian College of the Arts.
Okay, halt!
Halt!
Are you guys with your fight partner?
Yes.
Get with your fight partner now.
My name is Lyndall Grant, and I am primarily a fight director and a stage combat teacher. I'm also an actor as well, but my job is to teach actors how to perform stage combat and then also to choreograph it for film and TV and for theatre.
Okay, shall I strangle you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, get in front. So, very important to employ reverse energy with this. because you don't want to get this wrong. Okay, so this technique is, I need to make the cup of death. Now, what needs to happen is I need to bring my hands to her chest, okay? So I'm resting here. Or it might be that we've made the groom into strangle coming in here. Like, grab on. Yeah, either way, the thing is, it's Alice who brings my hands towards her, not me. She's the one who brings my hands towards her throat, okay? Now, where my hands go, I make the cup of death, and I'm actually going to place my hands underneath her mandible.
Now, so tell me about the principles of stage combat. With the acting students, you've been using this term reverse energy. Yeah, what is that? Explain that.
Okay, so reverse energy itself is one of the techniques that we use to do a sustained movement. And it's, I mean, everything comes back in stage combat to the fact that it must be safe. But then second of all, must be effective. And one of the principles along that is the victim is the one who's always in control because they're the one who's most vulnerable. So reverse energy is a technique where instead of if I'm strangling someone, for example, instead of me pushing in to strangle them, I'm actually going to pull away, whereas the victim is the one who's pushing in. So by that, we create true muscle tension, which can translate as a true effort, but everyone is completely safe and the victim is the one who's calling the shots along the way.
What I've realised in watching you teach this is, of course, you do need as a performer to be demonstrating that sort of muscle tension that would come from a realistic fight situation or violent situation, and yet you're doing it in the, well, as the term implies, the reverse way.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot with stage combat, which if you've done any kind of real fighting, completely messes with your mind because we're deliberately doing the exact opposite, but we're playing with the same intention. So we have this technique where I go, right, I want you to look like you're strangling and I want you to be looking aggressive and looking like you're trying to hurt them. However, actually what you're doing is doing your utmost to take care of your partner. And you get this really difficult mismatch. So one of the important parts of training is how do I act like I want to kill someone? How do I commit to this move and yet do almost completely the opposite to what should be a logical thing to do? What happens after a time is, like myself now, I'm rubbish at real martial arts because so much of my body has been trained into stage combat techniques. So if someone tried to punch me, for example, I'd be very shocked if they didn't wait for me to move out the way first. You know, it's really hard to cross over both ways.
How do you know so well how the body moves and reacts in a fight situation, Lyndall? I mean, do you observe real-life violence?
I do sometimes. A lot of it I actually get from observing animals. My original training, I'm a veterinary surgeon and I work out of hours in critical care. So I do see how animals respond at time of death and during horrific injuries. A lot of it is based on that, based on medical knowledge and having an awareness of how the body does or does not work. One of the secrets, though, is that, maybe I shouldn't say this, but...
I want secrets.
One of the secrets is, for example, many of us have never been stabbed by a knife and wouldn't know how we react. Neither have most of our audience. So the fact is they don't necessarily know either. So if you actually perform something with commitment and with detail and with conviction, then chances are the audience are going to go along with it. So as I come in, I just lay this blade on the side of her body and she reacts, and then I pull out again. It can quite help if as I come in, can you meet the blade? So start off a little bit more towards me. Meet the blade as you come in. Yep. And pull it into your body, to the side, and turn your body with it.
Yeah.
So like that. Yeah? So she comes in for the stab, go. Yeah. Like that. Yeah? Pull out. Yeah. Can help if you have the hand here as well, some contact. Go. Go! Go! Is it working from your angle?
Yeah.
What fascinates me is how the ordinary person would fight. So, you know, okay, you might throw a punch, but then if you're an ordinary person who's never been trained, chances are it's not going to be a nice martial hook punch. Is it kind of like a wild fling, or is it a slap, or is it actually a scratch, or how does the ordinary person work with opportunity and the moment? So it's not a thing where suddenly a domestic violence scene becomes a Jackie Chan movie, for example. And that's another thing which rings false with people. You know, would I expect this person to be able to do this kind of fight? So one of the questions I'll ask actors with working with them is, has your character ever fought? What does your character feel about violence? Are they someone who plan it? Are they working purely with opportunity? And actually, quite importantly, what would make you and what would make your character want to hurt someone? And so then when you're in that situation,
what kind of move would you do? And there's a stereotype of someone going, well, I've learned a slap, so I'll put in the slap. Or I've learned a punch, or I know how to do a kick, so let me do that. But that's not the art of fight directing. The art of fight directing is finding for that moment, for that character, with that intention, in the position that they're in, with their energy going in a certain direction, what move now comes.
This is the Body Sphere on RN, learning the art of stage combat. How do you make a punch look realistic, a stage punch?
The two key principles for any of the violence that we do is distance. First of all, making sure that they're at a distance that they can't actually hit each other. So there's a good 30 centimetres of gap between the fist and the face. Then we need to put it on the right angle, because if we're parallel to the audience and I swing that punch with the big gap, you're going to see the gap. If we bring them around, so my back's to the audience and you're facing the audience, and I swing in a large enough arc so my fist passes your face, they will read that as it comes. The big thing is the reaction from the person being hit. And then for live audiences, we do what we call a knap, K-N-A-P, knap, which is the sound effects for stage combat. We clap our hands, we clap a hand onto your chest, thigh, any area to make that impact sound. And when it all comes together and the timing's there and the angle's there, it's very effective.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of timing involved in making that look good.
It's basically a violent dance. The choreography is laid down, it's rehearsed and rehearsed and rehearsed. It'll become second nature because, again, the actors need to be thinking about their characters, their role, their dialogue. So we want the physical side of it to be as much muscle memory as possible, which is, again, another part getting through to them why the training is so important.
I don't like violence, but I like this because it's that chance to pretend to be violent. So my name's Blake Wells, I'm 31.
And you're about to qualify as a fight director, I understand.
Yes, I'm very close to getting that box ticked.
You mentioned, I think, creating the illusion of violence. Talk to me about that.
I have to write a paper for my fight director certificate, and I'm actually doing it on magic and stage combat and the illusion that we create with it, because there is no real transference of force in any of this.
How much do you think audiences believe or want to believe that the violence they're seeing is real, whether that's on stage, which might be harder than on film? I don't know.
I don't think at any point the audience really wants to believe that it is real, but they do want to allow themselves to escape for that moment, to get sucked into it. I mean, we go to the theatre, we watch films so that we can see these horrific things happen, and know that we can walk away and that they didn't occur. It's that idea that for that show, of that film, of that whatever, I've assisted in some way to allow the audience to let go and enjoy that horrific side of mankind that happens to be there.
So Blake Wells is an actor and soon to be qualified fight director, but at the Sydney Stage Combat School, others in the class have more surprising backgrounds.
My name's Emily and I'm 30.
And why are you here, Emily? Are you an actor?
I'm not. Good question. I kind of fell into this a couple of years ago. I was kind of looking for a new hobby and came across this stage combat and thought, that looks really fun, but I'm not an actor, I'm not a performer of any kind, I'm not a stunt person.
So you're doing this for fitness and fun, not to get on the stage and fight?
Yeah, absolutely. Fitness and fun, confidence, it builds new muscles that I'm not used to. You know, the past couple of weeks I've been holding a sword and a shield, and I've been fighting my inner Viking, and when I pick up a knife, I become a little bit more rough and tumble with it. And when I pick up a staff, you know, Asian staff, it's a little bit more cat-like and dance-like, and I just move differently. I find a different side of myself with each one.
And what do you do work-wise?
Yeah, so I have a day job. I work as a psychologist.
Do you tell your clients you are a stage combat enthusiast?
I don't normally know, but those that do ask me what I do in my spare time normally respond with a what? What is that?
Very good. So just to catch up, what we have here is Emily taking on Adam and Murray in a two-on-one sword fight and whooping the boys' butts. So, Mars, you can take a step forward when you get that bind. Yeah.
I'm Murray Henstock. I'm 39. I am a science teacher by trade. And about 10 years ago, I was introduced to stage combat as a birthday present.
But you're a science teacher. You're not actually a performer.
Yeah. I'm not an actor. But, yeah, I look at this and I look at all these opportunities to talk about physics and biology and how the body works. And so this, for me, this sort of thing is a whole different way of teaching my subject.
Tell me a bit more about that.
So obviously when we're looking at sword play, we're looking at body movement, so body reactions, muscle movements, musculoskeletal control. And so that's the sort of, we're doing those when we do body systems. And of course the physics of the weapon, the force, the momentum, the inertia, being able to stop it. And there's a whole bunch of science and maths behind it.
So now when you're watching a play or a film with some combat in it, you must watch it in a quite different way, having learnt a number of these techniques.
You can never watch a film the same way again. I remember watching things like The Princess Bride and going, oh, wow, that was awesome. And it still is. But now you watch and go, oh, okay, now I know what he's doing there. And it's a whole new appreciation for all the different movies. And what they're doing takes a lot more effort. And so I get a little bit more enjoyment now because I can see and kind of know what they're doing and how much it's taken to get there.
You are wonderful.
Thank you. I've worked hard to become so.
I admit it, you are better than I am.
Then why are you smiling?
Because I know something you don't know.
And what is that?
I am not left-handed.
A good fight director is an actor, director, martial artist, historian, part psychologist, part doctor. There's a lot of understanding of anatomy that goes in. If I get cut here, how does that affect me? What sort of wound is going to kill me fast? What's going to kill me slow? Another huge part of what we do is the different styles. We start with a historical base. So we study the manuscripts, we study the ancient treatises, and make sure that what we do is the way they were doing it. And then we modify it just enough to make it safe. So we're trying to keep that look going. The rapier of the musketeers, for example, is a thrusting weapon. It's a stabbing weapon, not a cutting blade. However, every musketeer production you will see has them cutting with their rapier. So we tend to start with the historical side of things, but then we also have to have that theatrical license to play a little bit. I never know as a fight director what the director's going to want. And even if we're doing the Three Musketeers, the director might say, it's lesbian zombies from 4022, futuristic, I want something weird and out there. So then we go, okay, and then we can modify and we can adjust and we can play to what the director's needs are.
Are there times, though, say, when the director of a live show wants the actors to do something that you judge is beyond them physically or unsafe? I mean, what do you do? You know, the director's asking for one thing, you don't think they can do it or can do it safely.
It happens all the time, especially these days. A lot of young directors are watching movies and then they go, I want that on my stage, and don't understand the amount of preparation, the editing that has happened in there, the use of stunt doubles, the use of special effects, the use of visual effects that have gone into creating that moment. So when I get situations like that, I need to dig into my grab bag and find a dozen different options. I never tell a director no. I will say, yeah, that's one way to go, but what about this? And I've become very skilled at making directors think that my better idea was always their first idea.
And on RN, you're listening to The Body Sphere with Amanda Smith. Tell me what the difference or the crossover is between stage combat, dramatic combat, being a fight director and being a stunt person.
Traditionally, fights were done by the stunt world. The main difference with the dramatic combat route is actually we're coming from the acting perspective. So for me, I definitely don't throw myself off buildings or set myself alight. I have full respect for people who absolutely do. And I know some people who are both what I'd call an actor combatant and also a stuntee as well. But we're working more with the actor, how the actor can portray the dramatic storyline through violence, so the actor themselves doing the violence as opposed to getting the stuntee in.
Lyndall, physical violence in real life is predominantly something that men engage in, women not so much, that raises a couple of questions in talking to you. Firstly, is it unusual to be a female fight director?
It's becoming less unusual. In fact, there's some very prominent, very, very good female fight directors and stage combat performers out there. There's pluses and minuses. I think you can't pretend to ignore that there are differences in how people perceive you as a male or a female, as much as we would idealistically like it not to be the case. But as a female walking into fight direct, often I have a plus because the females won't be intimidated by me and the men won't have to rise up and compete against me. Whereas I know quite a few male fight directors who will say that as they walk into a room, the first thing that happens is the females get scared and say, well, I can't do that because you're a man, of course you can. And the men will come up and beat their chests against them and sort of say, yes, I'm as strong as you. So as a female, you can avoid that. I've only had maybe one or two times where I think a man has not liked to get information from a female on fighting.
Yes, I mean, that's what I'm interested in too. You know, do male performers feel you can teach them to fight like a man and that you can choreograph manly fights?
Yeah, I think sometimes on the outset they think I can't, and then usually once we start to work then I tend to convince them. Yep, you're right.
There.
No, around the back.
That.
There you go, push in.
Ah!
However, if he lets go, okay. It is interesting, another darker side, I suppose, of this art form is you do have to come up against really uncomfortable sensations or really uncomfortable things to imagine. What is it like to be stabbed? What is it like if you're dying? I offer an invitation that if they want to go method and imagine it's happening to them, that's their choice. However, be aware that if this is going to be repeated exercise, that's going to have an effect on you as a person. So I'll quite often talk about it in physical terms, what the breath does, what the posture does, what the eyes do, what the mouth does, so that they can have a safe place to go to.
Shoulder, or I might just be trying to get her sword to do the parry here, or if I'm trying to kill her at that point.
So the only thing we actually kill is ego. There is no place for ego in a sword fight. One actor might be a very accomplished martial artist, and the other actor might never have picked up a sword before. Macduff beats Macbeth in Macbeth. And if the Macbeth is a really great swordsman, has had tons of experience, and Macduff has never picked up a sword before, doesn't change the fact of the script that Macbeth has to lose. So it's about losing convincingly. If you have more skill than your other partner, it's about using that skill to make them look better and trying to draw out the best fight that they can, instilling confidence in them rather than smashing them down. So we can hit the same note. I'm not very musical, but that's a C and that's a D, and I go to the same target again. That can be a D flat, yeah, coming around to an F. So he's going to play back his music. He's going to come back now with a thrust and then a cut to the other side, slicing through back on the same front here, and then forehand down. If they have a long fight sequence with a sword, it's always in different beats, different phrases.
What you were saying about it being musical.
Yeah. And if the first phrase or beat is eight moves and you get the fifth one wrong, you don't push on, you step apart from each other, keeping character and intention behind it, and you start that beat from the beginning. So both actors know where to go. Sometimes if you mess up the fifth move and you don't know where to go, one person will think, we messed up the fifth move, I'll go from the fifth move. And the other's going, we messed that up, I'll go for the sixth move. And then they're trying to catch up to each other. It's much easier to break apart. The audience never knows what the choreo is. They will only know something's gone wrong if we tell them from on stage. So instead, we keep the intention there, we break apart, we square up to each other, we give each other a nod and a wink on stage where the audience can't see, and we do that section again. We got through it, great, then we go to the second section. We mess up in the third section, we do the same thing. We break apart and we go through. And that's part of our training process, is to teach them to do that and maintain that ability.
So that's something of how actors and interested others can learn the physical skills and tricks of stage combat. But what I want to know is if one of these fight directors can tell me the best recipe for making fake blood.
Well, I could, but I'd have to kill you.
Like real kill or...?
Glucose syrup. Yep, just what you could buy from the supermarket, but we water it down depending on how thick you want it, if you want it to be slow hemorrhage or splurty. And then we use equal parts cocoa powder, so a teaspoon of cocoa powder, and there's Chinese red food dye you can get that's a powder. and equal parts of that. But you change, if you want it to be more venous blood, so like from the liver, for example, then you can put more chocolate in it so it looks more brown. And then if you want it to be more arterial, so from the carotids, then you put more red in it so it's more red. Thank you very much, guys. Please stand in the circle quickly.
Stage combat teachers, I've learnt, have a ritual that they end their classes with.
Circle up. Up. All for fun.
All for fun.
Fun for all.
Fun for all.
Groovy, guys. Thank you very much.
Who knew make-believe violence could be such fun? Fight director Carl Rowling at the Sydney Stage Combat School with some of his students, actor Blake Wells, psychologist Emily Constantine and science teacher Murray Henstock. And Lyndall Grant, who's a member of the British Academy of Dramatic Combat in Australia to teach second year acting students at the Victorian College of the Arts. Some photos and details are on the Bodysphere website. You'll find the audio there as well that you can download, abc.net.au/rn. I'm Amanda Smith.